Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa
recording
Barbara.
Recording and recording stuff.
Very good. Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. My guest is Darrell Hickman. He lives in Montecito since bought it in 1990. His acting, writing, painting career has lasted over 80 years. He's 90 years old. He's on the stick. And an illustrious career, but I want to start with this simple role you had in 1957, playing a young man. What's your recollection of a TV show in 1957? Was it quick? And what was Perry? What was Raymond Burr like to work with? Do you remember much?
Raymond Burr was a very nice man, very polite. But I got to tell you something: the key to television in those days was fast. The budgets were very small, especially with a new show like that. And if they wasted any time, you didn't have time to fraternize, let's put it that way. So nobody talked to anybody very much. You just worked. You shot the show. And I remember him being a real fine, lovely man, professional. And you know more about it than I do since you saw it last night, because I forget things that I did yesterday, you know. But I enjoyed it. It was a nice experience, but, you know, I was there to work, and I worked, and I left.
Yeah, quick. You were in a few scenes. You were actually the main, I hate to spoil it for everybody, but I'm going to actually play 1 minute and 8 seconds and of you and Perry Mason.
Oh, you're kidding.
Darrell Hickman is on the stand. It's the climax of the show. And the first voice you'll hear will be Darrell Hickman and then, of course, Raymond Burr.
Boy, you're crazy. I like Phil. Why would I kill him?
Because with Kendall dead and my client going to the gas chamber for his murder, your fiancée, Miss Hammer, would inherit all of the Cole Enterprises.
But she would have anyway.
But you couldn't wait. You were tired of being poor. You were tired of playing the nice, clean-cut boy. And once you and Edna were married, you'd wind up with the money in your hands.
I tell you, you're wrong. How would I know that Maddox and Kendall had changed rooms? I left the house long before they went to bed.
But you subsequently called Miss Hammer from Santa Barbara, didn't she tell you? She never realized what you had in mind.
Mr. Mason, I tell you, I was in Santa Barbara. I was standing right there when I heard that phone conversation.
How is that possible, Steve? And that isn't a photograph of Mrs. Cole's home at all.
Oh, God, that's fascinating. Oh, my God, that brings back such memories. Woo.
I have to tell you, I watched that a couple of times, and you were 26 years old. They had you wear the same jacket a few times. You were the poor guy marrying into this wealthy family, and you were the perfect actor to play that part. You were a good-looking kid, and you're acting, and the way you kind of just stammered, and you didn't overact. Everyone in those days was overacting, and you were just did a great job.
Well, that's a real compliment, and I appreciate you saying that. And by the time I did Raymond Burr, you know, I had worked with the best actors and directors and writers and producers and actors. I mean, I learned a lot from a lot of wonderful people, and I feel blessed because I learned from the best, and I think I've used that energy all my life.
Well, from the quote I read from Jonathan Winters, you have a bunch of quotes from different people, and you wrote a book, and then you taught classes, and you seem to be a likable guy. But it was just amazing. And I think we talk about filming and quick. Before that scene, there was some cup, something dropped in the courtroom, and they didn't even reshoot it and edit it out. It was bizarre.
That's right. Wow.
It was bizarre. Did you? And here's most interesting. I check when I watch these episodes. I bought the nine seasons on DVD, and I check all the actors. and the actress who played your girlfriend, your fiance, is still alive.
Who can you, do you know her name?
I think I wrote it down here. Edna. Her name is Nancy Hadley.
Oh my God! You know Nancy Hadley and I went out together more than once.
No
Nancy Hadley
kidding.
Was one of my first girlfriends.
Well, she was born. She was a year younger. She was born 1930.
Dark hairs, right?
Beautiful dark hair.
Oh, very gorgeous girl. Yeah.
I can't believe you went out with her. Now, Maud, your friend Maud, was joking around, and she said, ask Daryl about his first date. But I don't want to digress. You'll have to tell me about it. So, God, wouldn't that be funny if we can get a hold of Nancy Hadley?
Oh, Nancy Hadley was one of the most beautiful women and a lovely person. I had a good time with her.
And she seemed smart and sharp.
Very sharp. Very nice. Look, if I took a girl out more than once, she had a lot to offer because I wasn't playing the field. I wasn't one of those guys that was looking, you know, for sex. I was born and raised a Catholic, and I've always tried to live up to my religion. And I was looking for a social life and looking for people to go to dinner with or take to a premiere or something. You know, I wasn't looking for
one night stands.
Right, exactly. I just that wasn't who I was, and so I remember Nancy very well, and I know I took her out for over a period of time, so she must have been a really lovely person.
Well, it's pretty ironic, because you and Nancy are the only two people still alive from the second episode of Perry Mason in 1957. My guest, Daryl Hickman, an acting and writing career that's lasted over 80 years, living in Montecito. He's 90 years old, looks much younger and acts much younger. When you were on the set, did you get to meet Earl Stanley Gardner, the author of the series?
I don't believe so, no. I don't remember exactly, but I don't think so.
Well, it was just so funny that you were coming to Santa Barbara. They featured Santa Barbara a few times. He grew up and lived in Ventura for a long time. And so it was great that was...
you know a lot about a lot of things, don't you?
Jack of all trades, but master of none.
I don't believe that.
And you had a great scene in the episode with Lieutenant Trag, and that was rare. He usually didn't have a one-on-one scene with the...
Who was the actor?
You're going to kill me. And sadly, he got sick for the last couple of seasons and couldn't play, but they kept his name billed.
I think, yeah, go ahead.
So he kept his name billed so he could get insurance through the acting.
Oh, dear.
And it's just two of the actors had the same first name. Now I'm blanking.
Doesn't matter.
But it was unusual. It was very unusual to have a one-on-one scene with you being the murderer and Lieutenant Trag, so that you did a good. Do you remember what you got paid for that scene?
Do I remember what I got paid?
Yeah, for being on Perry Mason.
I can tell you, it was the top of the show, because if I had a certain price, I had to get a certain amount of guarantee and price and billing or whatever, and I wouldn't do it if I didn't get what I wanted.
Well, they wanted you because at that time, you know, you were a known entity. Daryl Hickman is my guest. I would like to jump into, I guess we've enough about Perry Mason. I'd like to jump into 1940, playing Henry Fonda's son in Grapes of Wrath. How does an 8-year-old kid get into that? You were cast by...
I got to tell you this story. I had done the Star Maker with Bing Crosby at Paramount and singing and dancing, and then I did a couple of films as an actor, but I had no training. And then I had an agent. I had Bing Crosby got me his brother as an agent, Everett Crosby, and he sent me out to Fox to see the director of The Grapes of Wrath. And I had never been on what they used to call a cattle call, and there were all of these kids, 8 to 10 years old, I mean, there must have been 300 or 400 kids in the casting, all around the casting building and everything. Anyway, I went in. I didn't read. They didn't ask me to read because I'd never done any reading. And I talked to John Ford. And a week later, the agent called, Edward Crosby called, and said, he's hired. So anyway, I went and I did 22 weeks on the road, driving around on top of that big truck that the Jode family brought to California. And we got back to the studio, and we were shooting all of the interiors in the studio. And my mother went up to John Ford, and she said, Mr. Ford, I have to ask you a question. With all of the kids that were on that interview that had resumes and had done a lot of work in film and stuff, how did my son get this job? And this is what John Ford said, and this was the key to my entire career. I never forgot it. He said, because I thought he was the one who would be Winfield Jode instead of act like Winfield Jode.
Wow.
And when I started teaching, I taught for 30 years, and when I started teaching, I said to them, look, you don't play in a character. You become the character. You bring yourself to the role. You bring your own truth to the role. I'm still doing that as a writer, director, whatever I'm doing all of these years. And Linda's trying to tell me something. And I was about to say it. She said, painter. She loves my paintings, by the way. And it's true, because I found that painting is discovering yourself. It's like good creativity everywhere. And I would love everybody to know that you don't have to be too old to be creative. That's the one message I would put out to all of your viewers or listeners or whatever. You don't have to be out of whack. You can be creative, and I would recommend anybody that doesn't believe that to check it out.
To follow your path.
Follow your heart, follow your truth, and follow what you want to create with your life.
Daryl Hickman, recalling his meeting Henry Ford in the 1940 movie. John Ford. You weren't the car maker. John Ford, director in The Grapes of Wrath, age 8, just innately, you were just an honest, sincere kid, and you were just talking to this guy, and he hired you. I love that story.
Yeah, that was the key. And all of these kids used to go on auditions and stuff and act. And most of the time, I got the job after that, you know. So, anyway.
And you were more relaxed. And we will circle back to your painting, because I know that that's very important to you, and that's your creative outlet right now. Bob Saget said that Daryl has such a wealth of knowledge to offer his students, the important fundamentals of acting, learning to get in touch with your true emotions when you need them. I learned to act from Daryl Hickman.
Bob, oh, wow.
Bob Saget said that.
I forgot that.
You got to appreciate that. And
Bob's gone on, hasn't he?
Oh, you know, sadly, Bob passed just recently. He's too young.
Too young.
And then, coincidentally, in your bio, you took over for Robert Morse and How to Succeed Without Really Trying.
And he just died, didn't he?
He did. He did, and he was about...
He was 90.
He was about your age, I was
going to say. Yeah, he was 90. I saw it in the newspaper.
Right. Right. As a matter of fact, it was just April 20th of 2022. It just happened. But you know what I predict? I predict you're going to make it to 100.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. If God so wills, I'm ready.
I'm
painting, and I'm here with Linda, the best thing that I ever did in my life. So I'm ready.
Isn't that special? We are going to take a commercial break. My guest is Daryl Hickman, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about some of his illustrious career. Maybe I'll get him to tell me about his first date. Maud told me to ask you that.
Oh, she did. That Maud, she's naughty.
She is naughty. Did you listen to the interview? I sent it to Linda.
Yes.
With a link.
Yes, we listened to it.
Oh, good.
We love Maud, so we're into her, you know.
I'm impressed that you, and as a matter of fact, you were on the TV show, Maud, weren't you?
Yes, I was. As a matter of fact, when I went to the restaurant and met her for the first time, she said, "You were in Maud. I saw you in Maud." So apparently she watched it too.
How long ago you think you met Maud? Was it like 20 years ago?
Or? How long ago did we go to the bar, Harry's?
Harry's. She's been at Harry's for a while. So you probably...
Linda says, "I can't help you with that." It was a long time ago. When it was about the time we first came to Santa Barbara.
Okay. So it could have been back in the 90s.
It could have been in the 90s.
Okay, my guest is Daryl Hickman. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. We'll take a quick break and continue on with the career of Daryl Hickman.